with me to the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. In our series that we've been in, we've called The Anticipation, 4 weeks to the manger. And one of the creative things that we've been doing is every week we've been adding another character to the nativity. And so week number one, we talked about the shepherds. And then we talked about the wise men. Last week, we talked about Joseph. This week, we're going to talk about Mary for the next few minutes. And then baby Jesus is going to show up Christmas Eve, okay? I promise you, he will make an appearing. So we'll talk about Jesus on Christmas Eve. So Luke chapter 1, I have always loved this story when it comes to Mary. So Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 28. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born to you, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." I want you to say that with me. No word from God will ever fail. Say it again. No word from God will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." And then the angel left her. You know, we have the advantage of looking back at these Bible stories, and we know how things turn out. But I want you, just for a few moments this morning, to put yourself in Mary's sandals, okay? And think about the fact that her world, just in a moment, gets turned upside down here. And one of the things that we love about Mary is we love Mary's response to all of this in the faith that Mary demonstrated. I want you to think about the impact, the news that this angel brings her, how everything in her world, just in an instant, is turned upside down. I mean, she is pledged to be married to a man, and she finds out she's going to have a baby. And this man is not going to be the father. At this point, she has got way more questions than she has answers. Like, how am I going to have a baby? I'm a virgin. I mean, you just picture her saying, "Mr. Angel, I don't know what you've heard about me, but I'm a virgin. How is Joseph going to receive this? How is her family going to receive this? How is she going to take care of a baby? What's going to happen to her marriage? Where will she live?" Question after question that Mary must have had in her mind. And also just this big idea of, I'm going to give birth to the Son of God? I mean, how does that even work? What does that look like? Mary had to have so many questions, and yet, in faith, she responds to the Lord by saying, "God, let your word come to pass in my life. I just want to be your servant." This is an amazing thing. Now, How many of you know sometimes in life, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be nice if in life, you know, just all the ducks always lined up in a row. Wouldn't it be nice if just, you know, B followed A and then C was next? And it, wouldn't it be nice in life to have a nice, orderly life? Amen? I think most of us in this room could say, you know, things in my life really didn't work out the way I thought they would work out. One way or another, I think all of us could say, I can't even imagine back then, you know, knowing what I know now, this is not what I had in mind. This is not what I thought it would be. It would be so nice in life if everything was just orderly and we kind of knew the steps that God was going to take us through and things just went according to, you know, the plan. And wouldn't that be wonderful? But that is just not reality, is it? Life is just not like that. And so when we're faced with these questions in life of how was this going to happen? Why did it go this way? How was this going to work out? Mary stands as a great example for us. She stands as a great model, as someone who, even though she doesn't have all the answers, she still trusts in her God. Amen? And this is life. This is the reality of what life looks like for us. We wish we have all the answers, but we seldom do. And yet we can put our trust that God really does have our lives in His hands, and He's got the answers for us. You know, sometimes just the way God does things, God shows us the what before He shows us the how. He shows us the what before He shows us the how. In other words, He'll show us kind of where things are going, but He doesn't tell us how they're going to get there. And that's how it was with Mary. God shows Mary through this angel the what. Here's what's going to happen, but she has no idea how. And so that's one of the questions she asks is, how was this going to happen? And then the angel gives her an answer I'm sure she couldn't fully appreciate or understand. But back to verse 35 again, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God." I want you to notice that first part. How is this going to happen? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Mary, God is going to work in your life through the Holy Spirit. Now, the first time we see the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures is clear back in the book of Genesis at the creation. And it says at the very beginning, it says that the earth was formless and void. It was empty. The material was there, but things weren't put together yet. And then it says, this is the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned. It says, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water. So the Spirit of God was there at the creation, hovering over what God was doing. In the same way that the Holy Spirit is going to hover over Mary right now, and as the Holy Spirit works in Mary, a miracle is going to take place and life is going to come about. So that literally, Jesus is the Son of God. This is the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. The next time we see the Holy Spirit in the Bible is when Adam is created. Remember, God created Adam out of the dust of the ground, and then the Bible says that God breathed into him the breath of life. The breath of life. The Hebrew word there for breath is the word ruach, which can be translated as breath or wind or spirit. So God creates Adam's body. He has a physical body, but there is no life in that body yet. And then God breathed into him his very breath, his spirit. And when the Spirit of God is breathed upon Adam, life comes to him. He comes to life. So this is what the Spirit of God does. In other places in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life. So when the Holy Spirit shows up, life comes out of that. So I want you to get this picture. Okay? Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. God creates the heavens and the earth. the Spirit of God being breathed into Adam, and now the Spirit of God showing up in a number of places in the Bible, bringing life and doing the miracles of God. But here in Luke chapter 1, the Spirit of God overshadowing Mary, coming upon her, and out of her comes this miraculous life, the conception of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Now, it doesn't stop there. I want you to fast forward now 33 years. Jesus has been crucified. He's dead. He's buried in a tomb. And there is the dead body of Jesus now, 33 years later, the dead body of Jesus in a cold tomb. And he's dead. And as Jesus is there, his body is laying in the tomb, the Spirit of God comes upon the dead body of Jesus. And once again, there's life. And Jesus Christ raises from the dead. Amen? This is what the Holy Spirit does. When God moves, he is the Spirit of life. Now, it doesn't stop there. Because let me read to you Romans chapter 8, verse 11, okay, where it says this. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who is in you. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get this. This Holy Spirit moving upon Mary, she becomes pregnant, life is given by the Spirit. Fast forward 33 years, Jesus is in the tomb, the Holy Spirit comes upon his body, he resurrects, he comes back to life, and then according to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, this same life-giving Spirit, when we open our hearts to Jesus, when we open our lives to him, the same life-giving Spirit moves upon us, and we are transformed, we are changed, and I better not be the only one in this room that's excited about that. Man! Spirit of God, the Spirit of life. And folks, this is what it means to become a Christian. Jesus said that this whole thing of being in the kingdom of God, he says, it happens, it's like being born again. You're born again. This is how you become a Christian. See, a lot of people think becoming a Christian is like, okay, I start going to church, or I'm going to become a Christian, so I'm going to quit doing some of the stuff I used to do, and I'm going to start doing some good stuff. I'm going to become a Christian by believing a certain creed, and so this is going to be my faith now, my confession. I'm going to get baptized, and a lot of people see that as what it means to become a Christian. It's like adopting a different lifestyle. I'm going to just become a better person. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to be a better person. And those are all good things, but that's not essentially what it means to become a Christian. Jesus said essentially what it means to become a Christian. At the very core, he said, you must be born again. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. This is what God does. You see, becoming a Christian is not something we do for God. Becoming a Christian is not even something we do for ourselves. Becoming a Christian is something God does for us. It's what he does in our lives. So you might be here this morning and you think, man, Tim, I don't think I have what it takes to become a Christian. I don't think I'm good enough to become a Christian. I'd like to become a Christian, but Tim, I don't think I can quit doing some of the bad stuff I do. I don't know if I've got the right kind of heart to become a Christian. Tim, I'm just so, if you only knew what was going on inside my heart, you wouldn't even invite me to become a Christian. Tim, I am so messed up. I've blown it so many times. I've made such a mess of my life. And I want to just say, perfect! You're ready! Yeah. Becoming a Christian is not like some kind of self-improvement program. You know, where I'm just going to become a better person. I'm going to do... Yeah. No. Becoming a Christian is a God improvement program. God improves us when he comes into our lives. And the cool thing with Mary this morning is God comes to her through this angel and gives her this incredible thing that's going to happen. And even though she doesn't have all the answers, she believes God. She just puts her faith in God. And then a miracle happens. And I'm here to tell you today, God is still doing miracles. He's still doing miracles. And we have a choice to make. When the Holy Spirit starts moving upon our lives, we can either resist what God is doing, we can say, no, thank you, God, or we can receive what God is doing. And we can say, God, I don't have all the answers. I've got more questions than answers right now. God, I don't know how this is going to work. I can't figure this out. But God, I'm just going to go with what you're doing in my life. And this is how miracles happen, folks. This is how miracles happen. Amen? And as we look forward to a new year, just in a few weeks, we'll be in a brand new year. Man, I don't know what 2016 is going to hold for me, let alone you in your life. None of us have any idea the ups and downs, the turns life is going to take in this next year. But I'll promise you this. If you will trust God with your life, God is going to lead you and guide you, and it's going to be good. Amen? How many of you this morning would just say, I'm going to believe God for good things in 2016? Yeah. I mean, it could be tough along the way. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be challenges. There's, you know, we don't know. But we do know this. When God is in it, when God is working in our lives, and we invite him, and we just say, God, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to trust you. I promise you, as you do that, miracles take place. And God will do amazing things. Amen? Now, sometimes miracles are absolutely supernatural. Like the supernatural miracle God does here. This is absolutely supernatural, the conception of Jesus. Absolutely a supernatural thing. But God also does natural miracles. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes God supernaturally heals people, but sometimes God uses doctors and hospitals, right? And I believe that that is a miracle too. I'll tell you a miracle that just happened in my life just yesterday. Yesterday, for the first time in my life, I'm 55 years old. For the first time in my life, I ran a 5K. Yeah. Now, was that a supernatural miracle? Maybe. I don't know. But it wasn't like, it wasn't like, you know, God gave me wings and I just kind of, whoo, you know. It was hard work, and it was hard work all year long. But one of the things I asked the Lord at the beginning of the year, I said, God, I got to exercise more. You know that. I need to, you know, lose this weight. And God helped me over the year to lose 65 pounds, and God just blessed me and helped me. But one of the things that I said to the Lord at the beginning of the year, I said, God, I don't expect this weight to miraculously disappear. But God, if you could help my knees hold up through the exercise, I said, God, I'd just really appreciate that. And here's what I'm saying. Me losing that weight and running a 5K yesterday, it wasn't a supernatural miracle, but I'm telling you right now, I give all the credit, and it was a God thing, and it was a miracle. It's a miracle. And so in this next year, would you believe God for supernatural miracles, but would you also believe God for natural miracles? That God is going to empower you. He is going to help you do things that you never imagined doing. He's going to use you in ways that you never thought God could use you. And yeah, you're going to have to put in the work. God's not going to just come in and just take over and do it for you. You're going to have to put in the work. You're going to have to make some changes. You're going to have to, but you're going to do it with God's help. Amen? With God's help. And just as there was a miracle birthed in Mary's womb, would you believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is going to birth some miracles in your life? God's going to birth some miracles in your life. But here's where faith comes in. You got to trust God. You got to trust God. It was Mary's faith that enabled her to be used by God. And if you want to see God work in your life, if you want to see the impossible happen, if you want to see miracles happen in your life, you got to trust God. And it's always going to take faith. It's never going to be, okay, I can figure it all out. I can see exactly how this is going to work. It's not going to be that way, or it's not a miracle. Amen? Amen? Yeah. If you can figure it all out and do it on your own, that's not a miracle. In order to have a miracle, you got to have an impossibility. I'll say that again because I didn't say it very good. But in order to have a miracle, you have to first have an impossibility, right? I mean, there's got to be a situation. There's got to be a mountain. There's got to be something in order for you to have a miracle. But remember this. Remember this. God is going to show you the what before he shows you the how. All right? He's going to put that, he's going to plant that seed in your heart. He's going to show you the what before he shows you the how. And then you got to be like Mary. And you got to say, God, I don't have all the answers here, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you hold all the answers in your hand. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up to the platform. Everybody, just bow your heads with me. Close your eyes for a moment. Hey, I just want to invite this last Sunday before Christmas. This last Sunday before Christmas, I want you to know this morning that the whole reason Jesus came into this world is because he loves you. He cares about you. And many of you in this room, you've already experienced that love. You've given your life to Jesus, and God has come into your life, and he's transformed you. He's changed you. Some of you, perhaps you're here this morning, and you've known that relationship with God at some point in your life, but today you're just not there. You're just not living there. I want to invite you back today. I want to invite you back. I want you to know, even though maybe you've walked away from God, God's never walked away from you. He still loves you today. He cares about you. His arms are open to you if you'll come back to him. Or perhaps you're here today and you've never, ever said yes to the Lord. I just want to challenge you today. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. If God's calling you to himself, don't resist that work that God wants to do in your life. Becoming a Christian is not a self-improvement program. It's not about you being able to change yourself. None of us has that kind of willpower. It's about opening your heart to God and saying, God, here I am. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what I'm able to change, but God, I turn my heart and life over to you today. So if that's you today, either you need to recommit your life to Jesus or you need to come to him for the first time, I want to just lead you in a very simple prayer of doing that very thing, just opening your heart up to God today. Just saying no to the person you used to be and yes to the person that God wants to make you. And if that's you today, if that's you today, this is the greatest Christmas miracle there is. The greatest Christmas miracle is salvation. It's God coming in and changing our hearts and lives through Jesus Christ. So if that's you today and you want to be included in this prayer, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, when I get to the number three as I count, I'd like you to just raise up your hand when I get to three. And when you raise up your hand, you're just letting me know, Tim, I'm going to pray this prayer along with you today. Tim, I want to be included in this prayer. Tim, I don't have all the answers, but today I'm ready to open up my heart to God. I'm ready to see what God can do with my life. So if that's you, when I say three, you raise up your hand, and then I'll lead us all in prayer. Okay? One, two, three. Yeah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Several of you today. Yeah, God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Right there. Right back there in the back. God bless you. Just hold your hand up nice and high. Way, way back in the back. God bless you guys. Way back there. I see you. God bless you. Awesome. Yes, right over here, sir. God bless you, sir. Others today. Yeah, right over here, young person. God bless you. Over on the left side here. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Yeah, you guys can put your hands down. So many of you are raising your hands today. God bless you. God is doing a miracle right in this place right now. And just as the Spirit of God brought life into Mary, the Spirit of God is about to bring life into you. Just as the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God is moving in your life right now. And that which was dead is becoming alive right now in the name of Jesus. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't. I just know it works because it's worked in me. It's a miracle. So right now, I'm going to just lead you in a very simple prayer because God is obviously working in your heart already. But I'm going to lead you in a prayer to affirm what God is doing in your life right now. So I'm going to ask you to just follow me in this prayer. Just pray after me. I'll just pray one sentence at a time. And church family, if you want to pray along with those that have raised your hand, that would be great. That might encourage them a little. So let's pray this prayer together. Father in heaven, I believe you're doing a miracle in my life today. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He was born into this world. He died on a cross for me. He is risen from the dead. God, I believe you're working in my life right now. I ask for your forgiveness. Forgive me for the wrong things I've done. And thank you for still loving me. God, I open my heart to you right now. And I invite you to come into my life and do a miracle in my life. I believe you're a miracle working God. So I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Numbers of you prayed that prayer with me this morning. Maybe a dozen of you raised your hand this morning, and I want to just say welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Yeah. Now, it's important for you to understand that as you prayed that prayer, this is the beginning of a journey for you. It's the beginning of a journey because I'm just telling you, there's a very real devil who doesn't like what God is doing right now in your life. And so as much as this is a miracle, I want you to also know there's a battle involved in all of this, and you're going to need some help along the way. So if you don't have a Bible, you need to get a Bible and start reading. Start reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start reading there. And do just what the cobbler did in the skit this morning. Start meeting with God through His Word. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got free Bibles for you, and we have a kiosk out in our lobby area that's called Next Steps, and there's a free Bible for you right there. And there's some other information for you, too, about how do we follow Jesus. That's why it's called Next Steps. It's going to tell you what the next step is, so how to follow God. And so before you leave, make sure you do two things for me. First of all, tell somebody that you prayed the prayer with me this morning. Tell somebody, please, that you prayed that prayer. Don't leave without telling somebody. And secondly, stop by that kiosk and get some information there. And Pastor Troy, will you be there? Pastor Troy is going to be at the kiosk. He'd love to meet you too, and just answer any questions you have and to be able to pray with you this morning. Amen. Well, God is good all the time, and He is still doing miracles. Let's stand together this morning. Let's do it.
So anybody that was part of the service today up here, I would like you all to come on up. Come on up here. There we go. All right, kiddos, come on up here, okay? Come on up here, guys. On up here. Come on, girls, up here. Yeah, everybody can see you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right up here in the lights. There you go. Okay. All right, come on in behind. Everybody come on in behind. All right, good job. Go on up front, honey. Okay, come on down in here, you guys. All right. Don't be scared. All right, here we go. Joy to the world. We're all going to sing it together. Here we go.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their
Amen.
It's been an awesome day today. Amen. See you Thursday night. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.